Well, it's an absolute pleasure to present virtually updates on CAR T cells in Paris. I really want to thank Professor Letay and Alain Fischer for organizing this. I so apologize for not being able to attend due to the chaos in scheduling after as we emerge from nearly 3 years of pandemic travel restrictions. My disclosures are here and relevant are Tmunity and Capstan. So you've heard about the design of CAR T cells and TCRs and CARs from Michel Sadelain. I'll pick up that story with the development of the CAR T cells that we have done in the field at the University of Pennsylvania, beginning in 2010. In adults with CLL and later pediatric and young adults with ALL, leading to FDA approval now more than 5 years ago. And the reason we made a CAR T cell with a 4-1BB co-stimulatory domain is shown here. Marcella Maus, then a graduate student at my lab, was examining the biology of CD8 T cell proliferation in human T cells. And she found that an agonist of 4-1BB could lead to exponential proliferation of human T cells and that they were polyclonal, shown here with repeated stimulation as indicated by the arrows out to more than 2 months of stimulation, and that with the micro To the RNA technology available back then, that these, as judged by CDRs, these were polyclonal T cells. So that's the initial CAR T cell we've tested. There have been many other CAR signaling domains shown here, 4-1BB, that Michel's group at Memorial developed, and ICOS, that you'll hear about from Sonia Dadon-Gitter. And even adaptive innate signaling with DAD12 was done by Michael Malone at the University of Pennsylvania. And so now we have the ability to look back more than 10 years since the first infusion of our patients and actually conclude that they are cured. They have long-term durable remissions, both adults with CLL, and as shown on the right, Emily Whitehead, then 6 years old, now 17 years old, and in unmaintained remission since a single infusion of CAR-19. And Jost Mellenhorst recently published the update of our first two patients that were treated at the University of Pennsylvania. And quite surprisingly, as shown by this anti-idiotype staining, they continue to express CAR T cells, and there are more CD4 CAR T cells than CD8 CAR T cells. And these cells have evolved in the patient over time. And as you can see on the UMAP projections on the arrest left, there are a variety of CD4 and CD8 differentiated cells. Initially, both patient one and patient two had a variety of cells, including gamma delta CAR T cells. But beyond 5 years, both patients have stabilized at predominantly CD4 T cells. And as shown here on the right by staining with Ki-67, patient one in blue, patient two in red, the CAR T cells, as opposed to their non-CAR T cells in blood, are in cell cycle. And this, as I mentioned, both patients had an early expansion of gamma delta CAR T cells, even though they were infused predominantly with alpha beta cells. And this just shows that in this case, patient two at 3 months on single cell RNA-seq had TCRs that were gamma delta and not alpha beta. So the summary of these long haulers, initially adults treated with CD19 CARs and now young adults and pediatrics with chronic leukemia. They have long-term durable remissions with B-cell aplasia. Many have long-term persistence of the CAR T cells, unlike with CD28 signaling domains. And unlike with the natural endogenous T cells, these CAR T cells have tick over proliferation, they have oxidative phosphorylation, and other features of memory T cells. So, in summary, CAR T cells are promising not just for CD19, but for all of blood cancer, as heralded by the BCMA approval for myeloma over the last year for two products in the United States. More than 10,000 patients have been treated worldwide now with CAR T cells on academic and commercial trials, and not a single case of T cell transformation with autologous T cells has been reported. Really important for the field and germane to this meeting is that it's on the near horizon, the approval of engineered stem cells for hemoglobinopathies will occur. And there are many issues to work out as to scale out this new technology, including automation, reducing the vein-to-vein time. We now have a 3-day manufacturing process being tested in academic trials at the University of Pennsylvania. And as I'll show, we've had the confluence with human genome editing that's appears to be safe and feasible in human T cells, as shown by the trial that we recently reported. So in that trial, we tested an engineered T cell receptor targeting the cancer testis antigen URKISO1. It was a pilot trial conducted at four patients at the University of Pennsylvania using the original CRISPR-Cas9 technologies, so not the high fidelity Cas9 nuclease that's currently available. Three genes were targeted in this trial, the endogenous alpha and beta constant genes, as well as the PD-1 gene, and then the add-in of the transgenic HLA-A2 restricted T cell receptor. So the rationale of this study was to test if knocking down endogenous TCRs promoted expression of the endogenous TCR and knocking out the checkpoint might prolong effector function of the cells. We found that the cells proliferated in all four patients enrolled on the study at harvest, and by single cell analysis could show at the level of the human genome that multigenic editing was accomplished, with 4 out of 27 cells having all four intended genetic modifications with the technology available back in 2017. There were no significant off-target edits. However, chromosomal translocations were detected, and these cells had paradoxically decreased fitness in the patients after infusion. However, due to the double-stranded breaks with CRISPR-Cas9, we're currently proceeding with base editing technology as a promising way to knock out genes with double-stranded breaks. So there has not been the kind of dramatic responses in solid tumors, it's fair to conclude, with engineered T cells as there has been with hematologic malignancies. There are many reasons, as summarized here from Stan Riddell's lab, on both issues with trafficking into tumors, the more immunosuppressive tumor microenvironment, and has all come down to carcinoma-associated fibroblasts that are immunosuppressive. So to model this failure to eradicate solid tumors, my lab, in conjunction with Shelley Burgers, has studied pancreatic cancer with in vitro additions of a KRAS transformed tumor treated with a anti-mesothelin CAR that has a 4-1BB signaling domain. We've repeatedly added cancer cells to the CAR T cells and studied them ex vivo, both transcriptomically and epigenetically. And the results of this study showed about 1,000 genes were changed after 3 weeks of exposure to the pancreatic cancer cells, some genes being upregulated after chronic antigen exposure and others downregulated. Interestingly, there were after 3 weeks of stimulation, four populations of cells emerged in the culture of CD8 alpha beta T cells. And two of them had the similar issues that you would see with dysfunctional and exhausted CD8 alpha beta cells. But another set of the cells, this population here and here, had many NK cell markers upregulated, as well as induction of the transcription factors ID3 and SOX4 that are not present on healthy alpha beta cells. So we showed in these chronically stimulated and dysfunctional cells that there were many NK markers upregulated with different kinetics, as shown, for instance, CD94 here compared to CD56. And then we could also find this in human patient samples, in this case, lymphoma patients analyzed retrospectively on our phase two trial that Steve Schuster led at the University of Pennsylvania, with shown here the infused cell in patient 39 from this trial at baseline, and then after a few 27 days in vivo, when we analyze the cells by flow cytometry, the induction of many NK cell genes. And this work is summarized here, where pancreatic cancer, unlike blood tumors, can, where there's chronic antigen stimulation, induce hallmarks of T cell exhaustion and an NK T cell like transition of that was not previously appreciated. And we found that the genes ID3 and SOX4 are upregulated in these cells, and in ongoing studies have shown that knockout of these transcription factors prolongs the effector function of CAR T cells. We have other ongoing work in solid tumors led by Mikko Sirala at the University of Pennsylvania in conjunction with Chris Garcia's lab and Tony Rivas's at Stanford and UCLA, where we're using the orthologous IL-2 signaling system. So it's like a modified IL-2 beta receptor introduced transgenically into T cells with orthologous IL-2 that's been secreted into the tumor microenvironment with an oncolytic virus. So in this case, then the orthologous IL-2 will only bind to the modified receptor, not to the endogenous receptor on NK cells and Tregs. And what Mikko has done is compare now the effector functions of these cells that have authentic IL-2 signaling compared to IL-7 and IL-9 signaling. And surprisingly, CAR T cells stimulated through the cytokine switch receptor that has the extracellular domain of IL-2 and the intracellular IL-9 receptor have much more rapid anti-tumor efficacy against pancreatic cancer cells. And this is in vitro against the KRAS tumor that Tyler Jacks and Dave Tuison have made over the years. And so what Mikko has then done is engineered an adenovirus that can encode the recombinant protein orthologous IL-2. This can be injected into tumors where the tumor microenvironment is conditioned with orthologous IL-2. CAR T cells that migrate into this tumor then can receive this selective signaling, in this case with an IL-9 signaling domain. And this then does not also augment Treg functions and is much more potent in both TCR and CAR-directed malignancies. And then I'll just finish with a couple of vignettes of CAR T cells now extended beyond oncology. And there are trials at the University of Pennsylvania testing engineered T cells for HIV and AIDS. And I highlight a recent paper published from Jim Riley's lab here in the JCI with knocking out CCR5, the HIV co-receptor, and CD4 cells. We have trials at the University of Pennsylvania led by Sarah Gill and Michael Kaczynski expressing CAR molecules in macrophages. In this case, they target HER2 and the CAR. This trial is open at several centers in the United States now, where the macrophages then potentially can both phagocytose tumor cells as well as cross-present antigens. We have also now trials targeting CAR T cells targeting or autoimmunity and organ transplantation and for fibrosis and heart failure. So in work done in Erlangen by George Schett and Andreas Mackensen and others, they've studied now the CAR that we had developed for CD19 in patients with refractory lupus. So as you all know, autoimmunity is really the issue of that Paul Ehrlich first forecast over 100 years ago, where an overactive immune system can cause tissue destruction. And in Erlangen now, they have treated a series of patients on a phase one trial with refractory lupus. The first patient was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine about a year ago. It was a 20-year-old Asian woman who had high titer anti-double-stranded DNA antibodies and nephropathy with massive proteinuria. She had been treated with many immunosuppressive reagents, which had failed to impact these pathogenic antibodies, and then was given a single infusion of CAR T cells with eradication of these antibodies and a transient B cell aplasia that's lasted about 3 months. Dr. Schett tells me that this trial is ongoing and that many other patients now have had a similar complete response to a single infusion of CD19 CAR T cell in patients with refractory lupus. We also have trials at the University of Pennsylvania testing something called a CAART, chimeric autoantigen receptor T cells that Mike Malone and others have made and spun out into a company called Cabaletta Bio. They have trials underway targeting mucosal pemphigus vulgaris, and we'll start later this year a trial for myasthenia gravis targeting the muscarinic receptor. And they've shown in experimental antibody models that this can also have effects in certain forms of membranous nephropathy. And so in addition to targeting autoimmunity and CAR T cells targeting solid tumors, Steve Albelda and Ellen Puree, along with my lab for the last 10 years, have been asking, could we target the tumor stroma, and then would that complement targeted directly tumor cells? And the initial target that we have looked at is fibrosis activating protein, FAP, which is on carcinoma-associated fibroblasts, so-called CAFs. These are cells that are in many solid tumors and have immunosuppressive issues that promote the growth of cancer cells and inhibit tumor cell, inhibit the immune system via a variety of mechanisms. And so Steve Albelda, along with John Scholler in my lab, and Ellen Puree have built CAR T cells that target murine and human FAP. FAP is on the surface of some tumor cells, but mostly on the stroma of carcinomas. And the CAR that we've built then has a signaling domain with 4-1BP, similar to the CD19 CAR. We've shown in this initial publication that the CARs very effectively decrease in this mouse model carcinoma-associated fibroblasts, and this allogeneic control CAR does not do that. And then in recent studies with John Epstein's lab at Penn, we've asked whether or not eradicating CAR on non-tumor microenvironment, eradicating the fibrosis with a FAP-targeted CAR might be beneficial in various fibrosing diseases. And we've initially started with cardiac disease and conducted studies in syngeneic mouse models. And this is based on data from Epstein's lab and others in the field that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and dilated cardiomyopathies have extensive fibrosis as compared to a non-failing healthy hearts. And this is in various forms of heart failure in humans, dilated cardiomyopathy, as I mentioned, but also autoimmune issues such as scleroderma, sarcoidosis, and giant cell myocarditis and even congenital issues such as Duchenne's dystrophy have significant issues with fibrosis in skeletal and cardiac muscle. So the initial testing of these CARs that target fibrosis has been done with John Epstein's lab and in models where mice are stressed with infusions of angiotensin and phenylephrine, which gives them cardiac failure, and then FAP-CAR T-cell injections tested. And what we initially found was that these mice with failing hearts, that injections of the FAP-CAR T-cells, as shown by this picocereus staining, could eradicate the cells largely that express the FAP molecule, and that this prevented scarring and restoration and then promoted restoration of left ventricular ejection fraction. In more recent studies now done with the same group, in addition with Drew Weissman and his lab at the University of Pennsylvania, we tested this manufacturing FAP CARs directly in vivo, in this case using targeted lipid nanoparticles. So these are lipid nanoparticles that are injected via the tail vein and have an anti-CD5 on the exterior surface of the lipid nanoparticle, and the cargo is an mRNA CAR that targets fibroblast activation protein. So they're transiently expressed as opposed to our initial trials that we did using gamma retroviral vectors. And what these studies have shown, led by Epstein's lab with Joel Rurick and Drew Weissman and Alan Pure, is that in vitro, with these lipid nanoparticles, we can get over 75% of the cells without electroporation that take up the lipid nanoparticles that are targeted through CD5 and express a CAR, in this case showing GFP staining. And in vivo, through tail vein injection, nearly 20% of the T cells can be shown to express the CAR after a single infusion of the CD5 targeted lipid nanoparticles. So it's highly efficient in mice. And then in the same cardiac failure model, they were able to show that by a variety of measurements, such as end-diastolic volume, ejection fraction, that the CARs, lipid nanoparticles expressing the FAP CAR, could preserve ejection fraction compared to the angiotensin failure, and that this was nearly as effective as a gamma retroviral permanent expression of FAP CARs. So there are many ways forward now with CAR T cells, and I'd like to thank a variety of people in my lab at the University of Pennsylvania at the cell vaccine production facility where the CAR T cells are made, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, John Epstein's lab, Drew Weissman's lab for the